Well, see there, you clicked on the button. Now you've got to listen to the whole show. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, don't just get halfway into it. You gotta be committed. You should be committed. I probably should be committed. You need some perseverance. Get through this whole show. If I've got to talk for an hour, you've got to listen for an hour. You can put it on. The funny thing about this new technology stuff is you can put this thing on 1.25 or 1.5 or 2.0 or three times the speed. And you won't be able to understand a thing I say, but it might only take you half an hour to listen to a 1 hour show or 15 minutes to listen to a 30 minute show. I don't know how long this show is going to be today. I've got a little buddy here with me today. I brought him down here to put him in the corner. He's my puppy. But never fear, he's got a Kong ball. What did he do with the Kong ball? So hopefully he settles down. Usually he settles down, just takes a little nap, but we'll see what happens with him. He's got a little bit of a challenge here for the next 10 days. He's got a, what's he doing now? He's got the Kong ball. Okay, maybe he'll settle down. He's got a little bit of a challenge for the next 10 days. He's got to go to formal training here in about a little less than 2 weeks. And he needs to behave. He can't go to the dog parking. He can't go to... No, he's just chewing on my vacuum sweeper. He's There you go. That's the way you should do it. Yeah. He can't go to dog parks and can't go to stuff where there's other dogs for 10 days prior to the trip. So they didn't carry any sickness or anything. It's kind of a quarantine type thing. It's an attempt to reduce the number of bugs he might be carrying around. We'll see how that goes. Because it's just, there's bugs everywhere. But we'll see how it goes. He's still a big puppy. He's still trying to figure life out. Doesn't know what's going on. So it's kind of a fun time. It's also, when you got an 83-pound puppy that's able to jump over. I set up some barriers so he wouldn't. I thought, I'll put the leash on him. I'll just put him back here. I'll put some obstacles up so he can't get over them. He just jumped over him like as if it was like he's Superman, super dog. There was no effort at all. He can just kind of jump over things. So it's kind of weird. My last dog had hip problems in his back legs. He couldn't do that. This dog's like a cat. It's like an 83-pound cat running around. So anyway, more importantly, what's in my cup? I have my chai here in the home studio with my Almond Joy creamer, my favorite. I also have my backup cup has, surprisingly enough, has apple cider in it. Now he's down now. Now it's going to be peaceful here. I can concentrate and focus. If I could concentrate and focus, I could do it now, but I can't really do that. That's just things I can't do. Some things like ADHD keeps me from certain things. Anyway, it's good chai. We have, it's not quite hot enough. The apple cider this time of year is not quite as good as it is in the fall, but it's okay. It's good. I like it. It's almost as good as sweet tea, but not. It's nice for a change, but it's good. I had something yesterday. Cracker Barrel now has this new, and they're not sponsoring the show, by the way. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor, and I'm not an expert on Cracker Barrel, but I have no sponsors, by the way. So this, you have to put up with some of my rambling with the understanding that there's no commercials. I have, yesterday I had lunch at Cracker Barrel. Yeah, I'm going to have to do something with that. Had lunch at Cracker Barrel, and they had this new strawberry lemonade. Was it strawberry peach? Peach strawberry lemonade. Peach strawberry lemonade. It was fairly peachy and fairly strawberry. I thought it would be, you know, usually you get something like that. It's usually one way or the other. This is a pretty good blend. I mean, I could taste the peach and I could taste the strawberry. It was good. It was a little bit rich, a little bit too sweet. Not quite. I mean, I like sweet stuff, sweet drinks. So it was good in that respect. It wasn't bad, but it was definitely a little bit sweet. Probably could have just put some water in it. Probably would have been perfect. It was just a little bit too heavy on the sauce, I guess. But it was good. Might get it again. The only thing about that, I don't think you can get free refills for those. I think those are just one time. You got to buy them. The sweet tea comes, you know, you get free refills and you get a cup to go and all this stuff. I don't think that comes with the order for those specialty drinks like that. But it was certainly good. They think they serve beer and alcohol and stuff too now. It's Cracker Barrel, which is kind of crazy. But I digress. Let's get on with the show. We've got a few things to talk about. I want to continue this talk about protests. And I've talked about this before. But the riots, the protesting, the things that have been going on, this, when you take a step back from this stuff, you have to get a, you know, like the 10,000 foot view, whatever you want to call it, the overhead view, the overlook. Who are these people that are protesting, and why are they protesting, and what are they doing, and what kind of effect are they having? This is an optics thing. I want to break this down a little bit. I could get into this much, much deeper. You can find this kind of information all over the place. There are people who've done all kinds of really good journal. I'm not a journalist, by the way, either. I'm not even sure I can spell journalist. So what is that? Oh, okay. The problem with these protests, first of all, they're not changing any hearts or minds. This is made for TV stuff. It's made for the useful idiots that they get to participate in this kind of stuff. You know, who gets up in the morning and says, I'm going to go to the protest today. We're going to protest this and we're going to make a difference. We're going to affect something. What are they going to affect? I don't know. I'm going to go glue my hands to the street, and that's going to change the temperature of the earth, I guess. It changes people's, it gets people's, it's all about awareness. You know, you can spend a whole lot less money and time. First of all, what are you doing with your money and time? If you're not being productive? I'm saving the planet. I'm fighting against tyranny and fascism. Are you really now? Is it really effective? Now, the only time I can remember a politician or someone making a decision because of riots was a particular Supreme Court justice. That we all have learned to find out that, come to find out that he was, even though he was installed by a Republican, it was not a Republican at all. Not a conservative constructionist, at least. And John Roberts is not a friend of conservative constructionist constitutional philosophy. He's not. You know, the Supreme Court got involved with the elections in 2000 under George Bush, and he wouldn't get involved with them in 2020 because we didn't have riots back then. That's the only time I've heard a politician, someone in government, in a government official capacity, say anything about, oh, we can't do that because of the riots. They're gonna riot. I mean, there's been other small-time politicians that have used that as a crutch, as a way to leverage, you know, their decision to do one thing or another. But this is, and that's kind of what Roberts was doing in this case as well. But in general, these these protests, for all the time, money, and effort that's put into them, what do they accomplish? The George Floyd riots that were going on all over the country back in 2020, what did they accomplish? They destroyed at least $2 billion in, I know there were at least, there were over, there was over $2 billion, it might have been double that, I'm not sure, in insurance claims. And so you know there was more damage than that because people, there was damage that was done that was, people weren't, there were people who were killed during those riots. Killed during the riots, not you know, 6 years later committed suicide because of something that happened. That we've been told now that some of these Capitol Police have committed suicide because of January 6th. Anybody who died who was a Capitol Police officer, anybody who's died since January 6th who was a police political was a police officer, apparently died because of January 6th. That's kind of their. They're just racking up the bodies right at this point. No police officers died that day. John Sicknick did not die from the riots. He had a stroke. Official cause of death. You can look all this stuff up. It's all very plain and simple. It's not, he didn't die because of the, they make it sound like he died that day. He was killed that day. Then they had the audacity, if it had been my brother, I would have said, you're not using him as a pawn. I would not have allowed them to lay him in state at the Rotunda as if he was some kind of pawn in their little, oh, look, the president has blood on his hands. He killed a police officer. These were Trump supporters. And of course, they claim that he led in it. This whole narrative that he caused the riots, the out of control demonstrators, protesters on January 6th, that he was a part of that. That's what he wanted. He ordered them to do what they did. That whole thing is on its face a flat-out lie. It's all fake. And yet they say it every day on MSN. Somebody says it every day. Lawrence O'Donnell, if nobody else. What was really rich yesterday, I saw this. Adam Schiff was being interviewed by Lawrence O'Donnell. That's how low they've gotten on that, at this point. Lawrence O'Donnell and Adam Schiff make a great pair. So Adam Schiff gets on there. Apparently I live rent free in his head. It's not a place I want to live. He thinks that he's living rent free in Donald Trump's head. That Donald Trump thinks about him all the time. How rich is that? From a person who talks about Donald Trump every single day. I don't think Donald Trump talks about Adam Schiff every single day. Every time Adam Schiff gets on an interview, being interviewed by any broadcaster, anywhere, any journalist, anywhere, he always talks about Donald Trump. I don't hear Donald Trump talking about Adam Schiff every time he gets on the radio, every time he gets on an interview, every time he gets on television. I just don't hear that. Not every tweet is about him. And yet somehow Adam Schiff thinks that Donald Trump has, that he's living in the head of Donald Trump. I don't think so. I don't think so, Adam. I think that's your, again, you think you're the center of the universe. And yet you are not. Well, I smell peanut butter, so the dog must have gotten at least to the point where we put him in the freezer. Of course, that makes him harder to. So he spends a little more time getting that food out of there. He's definitely interested in that ball. So we have, maybe I should give a Kong ball to Adam Schiff. Maybe that would give him something to do. The leftists, unfortunately, they get their left, the people on the left, they get them going down this crazy narrative, this crazy idea, that Donald Trump is the problem. He's a fascist. He's coming at. And now the big thing is, of course, with Doge and everything else. I saw an interview. What's the guy's name? Kudlow on Fox. He interviewed Elon Musk yesterday. Well, I think it was over the weekend. And I saw the interview yesterday. And he asked him some good questions. He really did. He asked him, one of the questions that he asked him about was, because Tesla stock prices are plummeting. There are, now think about this. People are burning Tesla trucks. They're shooting up with guns. They're shooting up Tesla dealerships. Anybody that's got a Tesla, which you can't really get a Tesla dealership, but it's any place that sells Teslas that has them used for sale. There are some places out there where you can buy Teslas. It's kind of like a sort of a dealership. People have basically purchased the cars and they sell them. They're shooting up the cars. They're vandalizing the cars and the trucks and everything else, burning them. These are the people who are all concerned about environmental issues, and yet they're just burning, you know, lithium batteries. I guess that's not a problem for the environment. All because of their hatred for Donald Trump and Elon Musk now, because he's associated with him. And they got this, the whole thing that they drum up, this is from everybody that gets in. And this, we had this thing where they came out with these speeches, little speeches where they did, and Chuck Schumer was the first one who did, had his release. And then within a day, within 24 hours, everybody was releasing the same speech. It was the same exact speech and recorded in the same way, holding a little microphone in front of a camera, giving this little speech about exactly the same words, exactly the same cuss words, everything. The script was exactly the same on all of them. These people are just, all they are is actors. This makes them out to be puppets, and it makes them out to be stupid, in my opinion. It makes them, they have nothing to offer of their own. At least Bernie Sanders got out there and read his own speech, even if it was a pack of lies. I talked about that the other day. I think it was, when was it? 4 or 5 days ago. They twist this thing about, and they keep saying, now think if this makes any sense to you. The man who wants to take income tax off of your Social Security check, they're now claiming he's going to take that Social Security check away. He's going to get rid of Social Security. He's coming for your Social Security check and your Medicaid, Medicare. He's going to take it all away. That's what we're being told. He has said over and over, time and time again, we're not going to touch Social Security. If you are legitimately getting a Social Security check, and it's what you are owed, and it's what you are supposed to have, and everything's done legally, and it's above board, guess what? That check's going to keep coming. It's not going to stop. And Elon Musk can't stop it. He doesn't have the authority to stop the check. What they are doing is finding anybody out there. I guarantee you, if your check gets shut off because of some reason that they think you're 150 years old, now think about that. If somebody's 150 years old and getting a Social Security check, they never paid into Social Security. Social Security's only been around, I think, for what was it, 50 years now? Is it even 50 years? So they would have had to have been 100 years old when Social Security came out. Let alone the fact that there's nobody 150 years old out there getting... Now, and there's people over that age. Of course, we were originally told this coding thing that this somebody had figured, oh, that's just this cobble coding thing. This is COBEL, I think is what it's called. This type of coding they used back in the 50s. They're still using in the Social Security system. Well, why would they have used, it was 1850s or something like that. Why would they have used a system when this Social Security hasn't been around that long? Social Security wasn't invented at the time of our, you know, signing of the Constitution here. I need to stop this little guy from, he's going to try to jump out. Just lay down there. There you go. All right. So the weird thing, it's just this craziness goes on. Of course, that was all, that this came out that this, oh, this, it's this coding system. That's not what it is at all. That's been debunked now. It's not true. It has nothing to do with the coding system. There's people on there older. Well, see, it works out. The math worked out to 150 years old. Well, then it's like, well, but we have people who, there's over a million people who are over 150 years old. Some of them, there were a few that were over 300 years old. So let's figure that one out. How does that work? So if we stop those, and this is all about fraud, waste, and efficiency. If there's fraud and waste, then we need to get rid of it. And everybody says, oh yeah, we're all for that. Well, then why did anybody do anything about it in the last administration? There was nothing done, nothing, zero done about it in the last administration. But all of a sudden it's okay. Well, it's just the way he's going about it. You just can't do it the way he's going about it. He's got to cut everything off. No, that's not what's happening. And yet they keep trying to scare everybody into thinking that their Social Security check's going away. Oh, you're not going to have Social Security. Well, then maybe it's not so great to trust our government, is it? So, because this is what happens when you get a government you can't trust. Well, I know it's not happening, but I'm not going to put my faith in Social Security, first of all. I know some people had no choice, but they have a choice, but it's not. So it's one of those things that where is your sense of logic and reason and critical thinking in all this? It's not something they teach in high school anymore, by the way. So we continue to just let them spew out all this fear and fear-mongering stuff. And it's all the same rhetoric. And it's all the same playbook, by the way. This is the same playbook. They've used this all the time. This is back a long time ago. I think it was before, I think this was in the 2012 election, I believe. Obama was running against Romney. I had people I knew were trying to scare family members by saying that, well, you think if the Republicans get elected, they're going to take away your welfare check. They're going to take away your support. Of course, it didn't happen. I'd like to make sure that everybody realizes, where is this dog going? That everybody realizes that they need to go back and check these people after the fact. Well, we stopped them. We stopped them from taking it away. No, that they never intended to take it away from beginning with. You just claimed they were going to take it away, and then you supposedly saved it because they didn't take it away. We fought back. We won. This is the kind of thing that just goes on and on and on. There's no end to it. And it gets really... I think that their playbook has become well enough known now that everybody's kind of starting to... Somehow my dog has tied himself up. Well, we'll just leave it there, I guess. Somehow he's got himself fastened to my chair. There you go. Now he's going to start barking. Come here. He wants his chew toy. All right. This is ridiculous. I've got technical issues. There you go. Get your chewy. Get your ball. All right. Now he's concerned about me making all these noises. There you go. All right. So we have, sorry for that brief interlude there. Welcome to my world. Now he likes to bounce the thing around. Of course, it bounces out of his reach. Okay. So we have a couple of things I want to talk about. This is along with this whole thing, this whole Social Security thing. They're using this as fear-mongering. Now, Social Security is not going away. And what they're planning to do is, now think about this. And this guy the other day on CNN or MSNBC, whatever it was, he was on some kind of panel discussion show, was trying to talk this kind of sense. And he was saying things about, if we get rid of the fraud, waste, and overspending, then guess what? We have more there. It's available. We can save Social Security if we can get rid of all this corruption. They don't care.
Well, it's just the way they're going about it. I'm all about getting rid of the fraud and waste.
No, you're not. Then come up with some ideas on how we should do this. Because nobody's done it up until now. You didn't seem to be concerned about it before. Last 4 years, it had nothing to do with this. It's all about the spending. The other thing that's happening too, this whole USAID thing, it's really blowing up now. And I hope that they can stop some of this. There's basically a scorched earth policy now. They are burning everything they can, destroying any kind of evidence they can of where all this money has gone. Now, there was all this, what they call tossing the gold bars off the Titanic is the way it's been referred to, because someone was caught, Project Veritas caught someone who had inside information on what was going on with this whole thing. And this is what they actually were doing. They were, all the funding that was in certain organizations, certain coffers within the government, they were throwing it into NGOs simply to, basically to save it. They were throwing it off into lifeboats, is what it is. So essentially that's what's going on. And they're throwing this money off into these NGOs. And now but what the problem is they're trying to destroy all the track of this stuff. These people that are being fired. Now think about this. They're saying, "Well, so one guy said, well, we should do this without having to fire people and fire, you know, fire people from American jobs." He called it American jobs. Folks, government jobs are not productivity. They might get the job of government done, but that's not productivity. It doesn't produce anything. It simply channels services and funds and things around that the government has taxed us for. The taxpayer is paying for all this, whether it's coming out of your check or whether it's coming out of the cost of goods and services that you're purchasing. When you tax corporations, by the way, corporate tax is ridiculous. Everybody knows this, and everybody says it, but nobody gets the concept. If I own a corporation, which I have owned several in my life, I've owned several LLCs, I've owned several sub-S's, I've had all that stuff, and I'm going to try to stay away from it, well, except for like a trust or something like that. But I want to try to stay away from that kind of stuff in the future if I can. And what little business I've got now, it's just a sole proprietorship business. There's no corporation involved. I like it that way, by the way. The problem with this whole thing is that the where was I going with that? I don't even know where I went with that whole thing. These corporations. I think I was talking about tax. Yeah, the taxation of a corporation. When if I have to pay, I had a flight school back in the 90s. I was a flight instructor. I had about 8 airplanes, a bunch of instructors, and a couple different offices. One in local airport here, and another one at a remote airport. And did that for several years. And whenever the federal government, the FAA or anybody else, if I had to pay for insurance, whatever it was I had to pay for, I didn't just eat those costs. I was trying to be competitive in the market, trying to get more people to come in to fly. So I would keep my prices down as much as I could, my overhead down as much as I could. And I would, you know, sure, you want to make a profit, sure. But you want to be able to stay competitive in the market. Now, in the process of doing that, if the government wants to tax me, if I have to pay, you know, what most people don't realize, let's say you make $15 an hour. If you make $15 an hour and your employer, you, of course, you have federal income tax taken out of that. It's like 7.5% or whatever scale you're on. The taxes you have taken out, you have to pay. There's something called withholding. So when your check, you say you work 10 hours, make it easy, and your employer needs to pay you $150. Well, out of that $150, they will take, you know, it ends up being about 30%, I think, or something like that. By the time you get everything taken out, Social Security, unemployment, all the stuff that's got to come out of there. So you're paying all this stuff out. Do you realize the employer pays the other half of that? You didn't know there was another half, did you? You might be paying 7.5% for federal income tax. Guess what? Your employer, on top of the $15 he's paying you, and then withholding the 7.5, he's also paying 7.5, he or she is paying 7.5 10% on top of that $15 an hour. Also paying for unemployment insurance. Also paying for all this other stuff that they're paying for, you never see. That paying you 15 bucks an hour might cost that employer 20 bucks an hour. I guarantee you it's going to be at least 20 bucks an hour. And there's the cost of medical insurance and everything else that everybody talks about. And it's not your employer's fault. This is the cost of insurance. Your employer wants you to be insured. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be able to show up to work. And it gets expensive to have an employee. And unfortunately, the employee doesn't see it. And of course, by the time you get your check, you don't even see the taxes that are taken out. All you see is your check. If you had to pay your taxes at the end of the year, if you had to write out a check for $20,000, you'd be realizing how much you get in taxed and what that $20,000 means to you. It's not because you start understanding the value of a dollar real quick and you start realizing that the government's taking all that. And then every time you purchase something, there's 7% added to that or whatever your sales tax rate is. And when you go to buy a house, and this is catching on, folks. This whole idea is catching on, in fact, by the way, about property taxes and houses. Because what's happening is people are realizing, I work all my life, I pay off my house, and I still have to pay the government just to live in my house. I have to rent my house from the government here. It's just wrong. It is sick and wrong. It's immoral, in my opinion. But that's what we do every day. Well, you got to pay for, you got to pay taxes. I got death and taxes, Well, I say death to taxes. I'll pay taxes when I pay for something. I don't like having taxes just taken from me because I'm living. They're taxing your life, by the way. They're taxing the wealth that you've accrued by purchasing a home or whatever you've done. They're taxing that. It's your wealth, and they're taxing it. You own it. You need to find other ways to pay for fire and school and all the other things that they pay for out of your property taxes. There's other ways of doing that. State of Indiana had a plan. We were going to get rid of property taxes. Republicans said, oh, it's a great idea. Although we went line by line, went through the whole process, and we were just going to raise the sales tax up high enough to where we didn't have to pay for sales tax or didn't have to pay property tax anymore. Well, they compromised. They compromised with the Democrats. So, oh, well, we're just going to compromise. We're just going to raise, I think our sales tax was like 5%. So instead of raising it to 9%, we're going to raise it to 7%. We're going to keep property tax, but we're going to put a cap on property tax. That way, we're just going to put a cap on it. That way it makes it fair. It's not fair at all. All they have to do is reassess the value of your home. That's how they raise property taxes. And by the way, commercial property has no cap. They can raise that as much as they want, and they do. My property taxes on my commercial property have more than doubled since I've owned it. And guess what? The value of that property has not doubled at all. It's in a slum area. And it's not, the property in that area has not doubled. I guarantee you. And I'm talking just in the last 5 years. Property taxes stayed down nicely for about 10 years, and then all of a sudden under the Biden administration, it just started shooting up. Actually, it was under the Obama administration, it started going up as well. I staved that off a little bit. I had to go downtown and tell them to reassess the place because it was ridiculous. They doubled my taxes 1 year. Just doubled them. And I got that straightened out, but it was still higher than, they assessed my property much higher than it was worth. And it was just, but that's what they've done. Now, of course, they do that now with, of course, they do that with personal property. So your home dwelling, basically, they've got a cap on that. Of course, it doesn't matter now. The cap is still, they still raise the value of your home, and then that's all they have to do. This is what drives the market. And talk about affordable housing. This is where things get messed up. Out on the East Coast, there was I think it was out in New Hampshire. There was a an area, there was a city that was basically the property taxes were just going through the roof. There was people were paying more in property taxes every year. And they actually, some of them had lived in their homes so long, they were paying more in property taxes every year than they were paid, than they actually paid for their original home. The property taxes were getting up in the tens of thousands of dollars every year. Now, if you remember back when I was a kid, you could purchase a home for $10,000 to $12,000. I mean, just, you know, it's not nothing fancy, just a small home, regular little, you know, shack was 10 to 12 grand. I remember that. That was a lot of money back then. 100 grand won't even buy you a place much like, you know, $10,000 to $12,000 house now. And that's, you know, and things were in a sense that a single family income would pay for a home, would pay for a car. It doesn't happen in that way anymore. You've got to have a two-family income to get by. Just even just 20 years ago, things were very, very different. So it's not the builders that are creating affordable housing. Like it just doesn't work that way. It's the taxation. It's all supply and demand. First of all, you can't bring 20 million people into the country that rapidly without just all of a sudden here they are within a few years, and then not have that affect the number of houses that are available here. And, of course, trying to build that many houses and do everything, it's all part of the supply chain. You have to have all the materials for that, all material goods for that as well, raw materials. It doesn't happen that way. It has to grow on an organic rate to maintain some kind of stability within everything. And, of course, then when you have something like COVID happen, and, of course, but now the border, by the way, is, speaking of the border, it's secure. MSNBC went down there. I think they traveled for two or three or four days down along the border looking for an illegal migrant. They couldn't find one. It is seriously. I think they have maybe three or four people a day that they confront now, as opposed to the 3,000 a day they were having. That was just in one area. It's definitely a very, very different story down there, near El Paso and Eagle Pass and all those places there. So it's just very different. I've been down to El Paso not that long ago. And it's a different place now. It's very interesting. So we have, I haven't been down there since the election. But so, needless to say, the whole thing here is that they are trying to scare people with the cuts and everything that's happening. Of course, they haven't even started with the DOJ. I'm hoping to put together some things today if I have time, some audio things today. Anyway, I had to respond to something there. Oh, here he goes. You know, he's up again. Stay here. So, that's where we are. The USAID thing again. I'll go back to that. They're finding there's a lot of evidence where this money was being tracked, where it was going, what everything that was happening with the channeling of the funds. Apparently, those involved. Now, this is the problem with firing these people. Of course, they're trying to get rid of them. This one lady was complaining that she had to, and I think I talked about it yesterday, she had to talk about what she did last week. Yeah, that's called accountability to your employer. That's just the way the real world works, lady. You have to report on what you've done, what you've accomplished. The problem with this is that these people, the time it takes to get them fired, in the meantime, they can do an awful lot of havoc. This is why in a lot of different companies, and there were some companies where if they let you go, if they fire you, they escort you out of the building. They bring security. Gather your things. You're leaving right now. You're not going to hang around because that way you don't have any opportunity to get online, to get on a computer, to do some kind of damage, to insert a virus, to do something, to take something, to steal something, to inject something into the company or to do something malicious out of revenge. So this happens a lot. Last company I worked for, he wasn't the CEO, but he was the I think he was considered the VP at that time. I think he was the VP. Maybe he was the CEO. I don't know. He wasn't the CEO because they had a weird structure there. Because they have a holding company that owns the company, and it's just this weird, weird thing. So they had this. They didn't have a president of the company. They had a VP, and it was in a the whole offices were all in a secure area. You had to be. It was all a considered within this secure area. And so, you had to have a badge. You couldn't just walk into the offices there. People off the street couldn't just walk in. You had to have an appointment. You had to have security clearance, all this stuff to get in. And, of course, when he got fired, the board decided to get rid of the guy. Well, they had him escorted out with police. The actual county police came in to get him out because it was such a secure area, such an issue. The authorities had to escort him out. And of course, as soon as he found out, he kind of knew it was coming, but as soon as he found out, he tried to take some things that weren't his, pack some stuff up that wasn't his, some computers and some other stuff he was trying to get out the door. But the, this just goes to show you why they fired the guy. He was that kind of person. But he'd been that kind of person for 20 years. He'd been there for over 20 years. And he'd been in that position for, 10 years or probably something like that. So this guy, who knows what this guy had taken and all the underhanded, backhanded deals he's done, under the table stuff he's done with that company. Which will soon be probably going under. But it's... So this is the kind of stuff we're dealing with now with USAID. And this is just one of the companies. Now, of course, the Democrats are talking about, they're talking about $300 billion are going to cut, or $30 billion are going to cut out of the Social Security system. Yeah, well, you know how much we spent? We're talking trillions of dollars here. I think that when the Biden administration started, we were spending about $4 trillion a year as a country. By the time the Biden administration left, we were spending $6 trillion. A year. This is unsustainable. If we're gaining 50%, that means we're going to be spending $9 trillion at the end of Trump's administration. We keep going. Now, of course, they all look back and say, the deficit increased more under Trump than it did under Biden. Only for one reason. I've talked about this before. If you remember back to the very beginning of Trump's administration, he stepped up and he said, okay, we're going to do this omnibus bill. I'm going to sign off on this. I'm only going to do it once. We're not going to do this again. He was doing it for a reason, and the Democrats basically slapped him back in his face after he did it. So this is what happened. He came out, he went along, he played ball with them and said, in good faith, I'm going to sign this bill. I'm going to go along with all this spending. But now we're going to build a wall. And we're going to start doing some things with trade and other things that you guys are going to go along with. But we're never going to do this again. But now I expect something back from you. And he got nothing back from them other than impeachment after impeachment. Lie after lie. Everything. I think he thought he could win them over. And I would have thought he could have too. But he's realizing he's not dealing with rational people here. The people on the left are drunk with power. They will do anything to maintain power. As I've said many times, the end justifies the means with these people. They don't care what the means is. They just want the end game to be done, and the end game is them in power and complete and corrupt power, by the way, They don't, and yet they the whole time projecting on others the very things that they're doing. And I've pointed this out many, many times. It's like, he's going to arrest his political enemies. No, that's what you just did. But now come to find out, his political enemies happen to be committing crimes. Actually did commit crimes. And we're finding, of course, the money talks. The money trail is there. If they can maintain it, I hope that there's enough evidence they can go after these people because they need to. And I don't know if Pam Bondi's got the fortitude and the tenacity to go after these people. I don't know that she does. I don't think she has the political will to do it. I think it's going to take somebody else in there to do the job of the DOJ. The AG needs to be laser focused on some of this stuff just to get rid of it and just kind of come what may, kind of damn the torpedoes. It's full steam ahead. We need to get this done. I don't care, you know, what happens. It's got to be done. If somebody doesn't do it, it's just going to get worse, and the crash is going to be worse. Now, speaking of crash, everybody's talking about a recession. Everybody's talking about the stock market crashing, everything else that's going on. And some people are now saying that Trump is probably crashing the stock market on purpose. I don't know that he wants to see the stock market crash. I don't think he wants to see that. I think he's aware of the fact that it could, and we've survived other crashes before, and it can crash again. The stock market's not going to, unless you are in the middle of drawing from your retirement 401 stock market issue here, which I hopefully you have found ways of, you know, you've got a good financial counselor, not me, of course, who has helped you steer some of your funds away from that. The key here is that you build up enough wealth that you can put those funds off. Frankly, when you look at the stock market, and I used to have a very different view of what was going on with the stock market. I kind of woke up to this whole thing. When the stock market goes down, it's like a blue light special at Kmart. It's time to buy. This is a good time. Have some cash set aside for buying things. Because just like Tesla stock going down right now, it gets to a certain point. I might consider talking to my financial guy and say, hey, you know, you might want to put some more money in Tesla. So let's skirt some more money over there. Because it's a good time to buy when that stuff goes down. There's other companies out there. I know NVIDIA is a big one. Palantir. There's some other people are talking about that. SoFi. Some of those companies that are out there. That are priced, there's claiming, there's some out there that's saying it's going to be the next NVIDIA or whatever it is, of course. You never know. You can pick a stock and all of a sudden it's the next best thing, and then all of a sudden it goes down to nothing. We're talking long term here. We're talking 10-year investments. I'm, you know, even though I'm in my 60s, I'm still looking at hopefully maintaining investment into the stock market into my 70s before I start really drawing anything out. And hopefully, you know, I've got that 10 years to make up for all the lack of saving that I did before and everything that happened in life. But so it's not just a matter of, you know, I mean, because theoretically, there are a lot of people who retire at 65, and I'm not there. I won't retire. I like business. I like working. I like doing what I'm doing. I'm not money motivated, which is it's a problem, actually. Some people are very motivated by money. I don't have that perspective. I'm more motivated by accomplishing something based on the adventure, I guess. Starting a business, especially from scratch, you come up with an idea, start a business, try to get it to market, see what happens with it. That's exciting to me. I enjoy doing that. I'll scrape together everything I have to make that happen. Just because it's just fun. It's fun to be in that position and doing those things. Now it's, unfortunately, there's a great deal of risk involved. I'm at a stage in life now where I'd rather just find some ambitious soul out there that wants to do the same thing, has the kind of vision that I want to invest in, and have them put all the energy into it. I'll just kind of sit back and let them do all the the energy stuff. I'll just, here you go. Here's the equipment you need. Just send me a check when you get, make some money. There you go. Anyway, the, that's kind of what I'm thinking, is that this is, the stock market thing is not, shouldn't be scary. And again, of course, the Democrats told us all during the recession we were in, the inflation issues that we were having during the Biden administration. By the way, the egg prices are not just about the bird flu. There's a whole lot more going on with the market there. It's being manipulated well into, you can look this stuff up as well. There's all kinds of reports on what's going on with behind the scenes. It's, we're being told it's the bird flu. That is not everything that's going on right there. It is the egg prices. And of course, it's not Trump's fault that the egg prices are up either. They're blaming, Trump's been in office for 2 months. They're blaming everything on him, which is, it hasn't even been 2 months, has it? See, January, February, March 20th will be 2 months. And they're blaming everything economically on him, of course. And it's just, that's absolutely ridiculous. Of course, he's Putin's puppet again because he's going to allow, there's a guy named Ryan Macbeth. I don't know that this was the thought from Ryan, but I'm pretty sure, but most of his followers are pretty much along this line. So I'm pretty sure much they're aligning with what he kind of believes. They believe that Trump is going to give Ukraine to Russia, and then Russia, of course, by doing that, all of Europe is going to belong to Ukraine as well. Well, that's not the case. That is not what's happening here. He's not pitting. I guarantee you, Trump is playing chess in this situation, and maybe even 4D chess with Russia and China and even some of the Arab states. There are some very complicated issues here that I think he has a grasp on. I really do believe he does. I think he's understanding how this whole world trade thing works, and he understands how the deals can be made. He had 4 years to sit around and think about all the stuff that he did in the first 4 years, and they seem to be running on all eight cylinders. I mean, they're going to make some mistakes, and it's going to be sloppy because nobody's done this. He's charting, you know, in uncharted waters here. So there might be some mistakes, there might be some sloppiness, and there might be some this recession thing that they keep talking about, and this inflation they're talking about. This is going to be a transitory. This is the true definition of transitory inflation or transitory recession. It is going to be a very temporary correction, but it needs to happen. Now, one of the things I want to talk about, I'll talk about this more tomorrow. I don't have a lot of time. I got time today. Is to talk about the issue of deflation. I've talked about this before. I think on one other show. And I don't know how to explain this very well other than just to say deflation is, let's say you have, maybe I did talk about this in the show recently, but deflation is actually a good thing with regard to the value of the dollar. If you have $1,000 in the bank and all of a sudden things start deflating, the economy starts deflating, your $1,000 is still $1,000. That doesn't change. Even if you're not getting any interest on it. But the cost of goods sold goes down. So you might be able to, today you might be able to buy a really nice suit a nice suit for $1,000. So you go out and get a custom-made tailored suit for $1,000. That's a low-end custom suit. At a clothier. You go to a clothier. By the way, when you speak with a British accent, many times people believe you are much more intelligent than if I talk like this, you will think I'm much more intelligent than someone who talks like this. If I talk like this, I'm not as smart as a guy who talks like this. But that's the way we perceive it. But it's not the case, obviously. Sometimes it is, but it's not that. That's why they like to use British people on the news. British accent, the English accent, sounds proper, and much more intelligent. So you go out and buy this suit for $1,000, and if things deflate, now unfortunately you have a $1,000 suit that's now worth $500. Now you can go out and buy that same suit for $500 with the same amount of, you know, now you've got the same amount of money in the bank. But it buys more because of deflation. That makes your value of your dollar go up. Now, it also makes the value of your home go down. It makes the value of your car go down. It makes the value of most everything go down when you have a deflationary period. Everybody thinks that inflation just has to happen because we've always experienced it because ever since the Fed has been in charge of our money, they've done it to us all the time. And they like to keep it about 2% because it keeps the economy nice and popping, but it keeps them on the verge of always having more money. It's all part of their little game they play with us. During the Nixon administration, right at the end of the Nixon administration, as Harold Ford was taking over, of course, now he sold out the country to do it. He sold out because he took us off the gold standard. I have had discussions with people on the left about this whole gold standard thing, silver standard, whatever you want to call it, tying the value of the dollar to a tangible good. Like silver or gold.
Well, there's not enough silver. We can't make enough silver for all the. We can't. Everybody's got to carry silver around. How are we going to carry silver?
They don't understand what this means. This is when we were under the silver standard. No, not everybody carried around silver. You didn't have to carry around a bar of silver and shave half. I got to shave some of this off. Shave off my bar of silver here so I can pay my grocery bill. I got to shave off $40 worth of. I got to have 12 ounces of silver here to pay for my tank of gas. It wouldn't be 12 ounces. Be maybe 2 ounces. Anyway, this is how ridiculous these people are. They don't understand. You can exchange. It's the value of the dollar is pinned to the silver. It's not that you carry around silver. So you can trade your dollar for silver. A dollar's worth of silver is the same as a dollar's worth of a dollar. It's always, say silver was a dollar an ounce. That dollar is always going to be a dollar an ounce. In other words, you can always go in and buy an ounce of silver for a dollar. And whatever the value of silver is, that's what the value of your dollar is going to be. It stabilizes prices instantly. I'm not going to get into the whole thing and how it all works, but it's right now. Nixon was the one who released the dollar from being pinned to anything other than oil, but that's on a national, that's on an international market. But that can be unpinned, that could be changed. Not at any time, but it's in the process of they're trying to change it right now. There's a lot of countries that are trying to go away from unpinning their trade with oil away from the dollar. And the reason the whole thing has to do with the gold reserves and the way they were traded as well back in the day. And Nixon made this promise: it'll always be worth whatever. Well, if our economy collapses to the point where they can get away with it, they'll unpin the U.S. dollar from as being the world standard. In the meantime. If we have a deflationary period like we had back in the right when Harold Ford took over, I think we had like 0.75% deflation at the time. And economically, we were doing just fine. It was the country was not in hardship. People that we weren't in a depression. We weren't in unemployment. It wasn't bad. Jimmy Carter came along and just decided that, their whole thing was there was corruption. Nixon was corrupt and. Gerald Ford couldn't be president because he had pardoned Nixon and therefore he shouldn't be allowed to be president either. They ran that whole thing. That was, of course, then Carter came in. Nice guy, very nice guy, terrible president. He came in with land set aside issues, shortages after shortages. Fuel issues, economic issues that were like it was a mess. 4 years, it was a mess. And of course, Reagan came back and turned it around very quickly. Even without having the House, he came back without the House and the Senate. And he ended up, I think he might have had the Senate, didn't have the House, whatever it was. But they weren't talking about impeaching him every 5 minutes. And it's just on and on with this stuff. Is it just gets old, and they just continue on with their rhetoric. And of course, the social media bath is just one thing after another. You can't go on Facebook without somebody popping up with some kind of weird, oh, they're doing this now, and this person got arrested, and all this stuff that's going on. We'll talk more about the hostage situation, Hamas situation, the particular individual who got arrested who was in the country doing protests on campuses, leading protests, saying death to America, advocating violence against the country. And why people are upset with him, why they want to kick him out. Well, how dare you want to kick him out of the country? He's just a nice guy. It's just freedom of speech, freedom of speech. Not really. See you later. God bless. Take care.